My friend, do you have the ability to detect hypocrisy in people? I haven't graduated yet. Are you aware of the fact that someone may befriend you for selfish purposes? Should you discover that your third wife only married you for your money and for your Maserati, how would you react? The Bible calls him Judas. The name in the Old Testament is Judah. So he comes from a good etymology concerning his name. Judah was a good man. He comes from a little village in the south of Judah called Kerioth. Judas Iscariot. Ish Kerioth in Hebrew is man, Ish, of Kerioth. Man of Kerioth. Nobody visits this site, by the way. Of course, his parents did not have the faintest idea that their son would one day betray the Son of God. Fortunately, we do not know what our little ones will become one day. God spared us this pain. The man of Kerioth heard about a young upcoming rabbi and thought this rabbi had a future and that he should join himself to this rabbi. The stones tell us that Judas decided to become a disciple of Christ. Did Jesus ask him to become one of his disciples? No. Did Jesus know that Judas would betray him? Yes. Do you have a Judas in your life? To what position of trust did Jesus appoint the untrustworthy Judas? He became the minister of finance for the little group. Jesus didn't turn him away. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He did not turn him away. He welcomed Judas in the inner circle. For 3.5 years, more or less, Jesus poured out all his love for the man who was going to betray him. You know, this is mind-boggling. But this is what God looks like. What lesson can we learn from Jesus, the model perfect teacher? Let us be kind to people in spite of the manner in which they behave. Even if you know what this person is going to do to you, still be kind to him. Christ's sermon in the synagogue concerning the bread of life was the turning point in the history of Judas. As he heard the words of Jesus, John 6:53, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Judas couldn't take this. He saw that Christ was offering spiritual rather than material riches. He decided not to unite himself too closely to Christ. Your relationship with Christ, is it close or is he at a distance? Jesus experienced his rejection by Judas in a very painful manner. Rejection is one of the most painful emotions. But instead of retaliation, Jesus decided to keep on loving him. This is God. This is also the way he treats sinners like you and me, even though we forsake him. He'll keep on loving you. And should you be lost one day, he'll be lonesome for you forever. Don't disappoint him. The rift between them widened the house of Simon here at Bethany. Let's read what happened that night. John 12:4-5, But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, the man from Kerioth, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" I presume you know the story of Mary coming in there, anointing his feet with very expensive ointment. Verse 6, "This he said, not that he cared for the poor," no, he only cared about himself, "but because he was a thief." Man, he could have bought himself some stuff if the money came to the purse. "And had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it." He paid himself. Now, what effect should this noble deed of Mary have, should have had on his callousness, his hardness of heart? It should have softened him because she was a wicked woman and she repented. And he was with Christ when he labored with this woman. But Jesus wanted to reveal more of God's amazing love to his traitor. How would you have reacted in such a situation? By the way, my dear friend, Jesus has not yet given up on us, even if we give up on him. He came to reveal the character of God the Father. Please feel free to talk to the one who loves you so dearly. It's safe, very safe, to confide in somebody that loves you extremely. Judas left the feastly atmosphere of Simon's house, met with the Sanhedrin, and sold Jesus for the price of a slave. Later that evening, he came back to Bethany, as if nothing has happened. What steps would you have taken if you were Jesus? "This man just sold me for a pittance." Matthew 26:16. "And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." He got the money, and now he's got to produce. If Judas knew where Jesus would spend the next few nights, he would have been arrested earlier that week. But here I find something beautiful. Sunday night, Jesus agonized in prayer and maybe slept in a cave on the Mount of Olives. Judas didn't know where he was. He failed. What about Monday night? He's going to try again. Matthew 21:17. "And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there." On Monday night, Jesus slept in Bethany. There was no pattern. Why the secrecy? Judas wanted to arrest him. Why didn't Jesus allow Judas to succeed? He came to die, of course, anyway. You know, he needed to prove his love for his traitor in a special way during the Passover meal. And he dodged him for that entire week. According to the Desire of Ages, Judas had another meeting with the Pharisees. "Judas, we paid you in cash, man. But where is the victim? We need the victim. We want to kill him." "Gentlemen, I've tried my best, but he evades me continually. Please be patient. Please don't worry. You'll get your money's worth." On Tuesday evening, Jesus slept somewhere on the Mount of Olives. We don't know where he slept on Wednesday night. But Judas couldn't find him. Godly love prevented a premature arrest. He wanted to wash the traitor's feet with divine love. What a revelation of God's heart and the Father's heart. If only Judas knew where Jesus would celebrate the Passover on Thursday, he could have informed the Sanhedrin. But Jesus is silent. He doesn't reveal the place where they would have this Passover meal. Now for something exciting that happened on that Thursday morning. Matthew 26:17. Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? Jesus, you know, we've been waiting now almost a week for you to tell us where we're going to have the Passover meal. According to the agreement, Jesus had to be arrested before Passover, and time was running out for Judas. Matthew 26:4-6. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. So they had to do it before Passover. If Judas does not succeed in arresting Jesus, he would be required to return the money. And money was more important to Judas than Christ. What is more important to you and me than Christ? You know, while I did this, I searched my own heart and I said, God, be merciful on this sinner. With false innocence, Judas inquired with the other disciples about the venue where the preparation for the Passover service must be made. Hey, Peter, man, John, James, please tell me, where are we meeting tonight? Silence. Jesus declines to answer. Why? He wants to show his great love for his traitor once more. This, to me, was the pinnacle of the love of Christ for the most wicked man of the day, a hypocrite. Do you have a Judas in your life? How do you treat the Judas in your life? While an impatient Judas waits for a reply, Jesus speaks. Matthew 26:18. And he said, only to two of them, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. Now, would your GPS get you there if you put in this type of information? No. Why does Jesus withhold the details from Judas? He wants to wash the feet and demonstrate his love for a traitor. This is such a unique story, revealing God's love for wicked people. Dr. Luke tells us something about the secretive way in which Jesus spoke to John and Peter as to how to find the place. Here's some more detail. Luke 22:10. And he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Jesus, a man will meet us with a pitcher of water? Yes, yes. Follow him into the house which he enters. I wonder what the two disciples thought. So they couldn't tell Judas where the Passover would be celebrated. It's too vague. Then you shall say to the master of the house, where's the house? Address. The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Could they put this information into the GPS? No. What a revelation of love for the traitor. Before Judas could follow the two, they were gone to find a man with a pitcher. They stayed away for most of the day, and Judas was extremely frustrated. Late that afternoon, the 12 made their way to the venue. Can you see them walking through the little lanes? 10 of them would see the place for the first time that night. No hatred in his heart against Judas, only measureless pity and love. What a God we serve. Periodically, Jesus looks at Judas. Can you see it? Only one day we will hear what divine thoughts went through his mind. Your thoughts and mine concerning Judas. Jesus knows about the traitor's kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knows about his suicide. And he weeps because he loves Judas. He was a dear friend to Jesus. Please don't hate the traitors in your life. Maybe your husband is unfaithful to you. Maybe your wife has got an affair. Don't hate the traitors in your life. By God's grace, be kind to them. Do not repay evil with evil. Treat them with pitying love. This is God's plan for you and me. And he'll supply the emotional strength to do it. This is a traditional upper room. What was the first topic that Jesus mentioned at the Passover table? Matthew 6, 20 and 21. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you, and I think he choked a little, one of you will betray me. Maybe he shed tears because this is painful. Have you experienced rejection from someone you loved dearly? And never did anyone loved as Jesus loved. The greater the love, the greater the pain. For years you have showered your love on that person, and then one day she or he says, sorry, I don't love you anymore. I found suddenly you experience a painful loneliness and rejection pain. You are dumbfounded. You are humiliated. Have you come across these victims? Are you one of them? I once saw a busy mother slapping the daughter's hand while she was holding flowers to mommy. I'll never forget that scene. No time for flowers now, she shouted at the top of her voice. Unfortunately, there are some loveless mothers. For some time, Jesus gave Judas some flowers of kindness and love. Flowers of forgiveness and everlasting life. But sad to say, Judas slapped that kind hand, offering him never-fading flowers. Pain, pain, pain. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Jesus is overcome with pain. His face turns pale. This is an emotional reaction. My dear friends, he says, one of you will betray me. 1,000 years before this tragedy, David wrote under inspiration of what Jesus experienced. Psalms 55, verse 12. For it is not an enemy. It's not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, Judas, a man, my equal, Judas was intelligent. Jesus was brilliant. They could discuss matters which Jesus couldn't discuss with the others. My companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. They were special friends. The more special a friend or a spouse, the deeper the pain. Jesus thinks of the precious moments talking and worshiping together in the synagogues, listening to the sermons together and sang together. He had only one dream for his friend Judas, his eternal salvation. He's got only one dream for you and me, our eternal salvation. Can you see Jesus on his knees, taking the traitor's feet in his hands and washing them? Can you see this? He knew these feet went to the Sanhedrin a few times, but he washes them. The creator of the universe pleads with Judas to yield while pouring his accumulated love of eternity upon the traitor. What a demonstration of love. We will not be lost one day because of sins we've committed, but because we have rejected the offer of salvation. That is the greatest sin. While he dries his feet with a cloth, he pleads with Judas, holds them to his heart, the two feet, with all the love of his being, trying to prevent them from going astray. Judas, these feet of yours, let them walk with me. Judas reads the message of love in the eyes of Jesus. And this is what he read. Judas, my precious friend, it's not too late to cancel your treason plans. Judas, I cannot allow you to get lost. Please, 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 Judas. How can I give you up? Oh, I wish I had this kind of passionate love of some of the Judases in my life. Just for a brief moment, Judas felt the irresistible love of Jesus, almost persuaded Christ to receive. But the last appeal of love was unheeded. Then the case of Judas was decided, and the feet that Jesus had just washed went and betrayed him. There was nothing more Jesus could do for Judas. Jesus repeated his invitations 5 times to relinquish his murderous plans that night during Passover. 5 times. What a waste of tender love for a rebellious traitor. I'm speechless when I think of Jesus' love for Judas. And of course, for a sinner like me. What a demonstration of an amazing portrait of God's love and the way he treats sinners. Have you been hurt to such an extent that you have deleted the folder of that person? Do you suffer from chronic hurt and chronic hatred? Are you jailed in the maximum cell of bitterness? Would you like to be set free from this prison cell? Would you like to escape to the freedom of the joy of forgiveness, forgiving someone? Oh, that's a great freedom. One time I had to battle for 7 years to gain that victory. But once I got that victory, I was emancipated. Allow God to overwhelm you, confuse you with his undeserving forgiveness. And may his inexplainable, mysterious forgiveness overflow from your heart to the Judases in your life. This is the greatest miracle that God can perform in the heart of a sinner. Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. He was condemned for our sins in which he had no share, that we might be justified by his righteousness in which we had no share. He suffered the death which was ours, that we might receive the life which was his. What an exchange. What a transaction. Giving my nothingness and getting his fullness. Painting by Karl Bloch of the Last Supper. Father in heaven, help us never to resist your tremendous love for us. Help us to meditate on this extreme revelation of your love for sinners, and help us to yield to your pleadings. In Jesus' name, Amen.